Del Franzen, U.S. soldiers have shipped out for the Middle East. Some 500 troops expected to help build that floating pier off Gaza's coast. President Biden calling for the humanitarian mission to boost food and other aid for Palestinians facing famine after months of the Israel-Hamas war. Chief Warrant Officer Jason West says he learned about his deployment after the State of the Union.
We have no estimated end date. It's an indefinite. Until we're done providing humanitarian aid, we'll be on station.
The last time U.S. soldiers were deployed for humanitarian assistance was 2010 to help build a pier off Haiti. The prime minister of Haiti says he'll resign once a transitional government is formed. That's all part of the demands by gang leaders and an effort to curb gang violence gripping much of the country. Lawmakers getting a security briefing today on the threats posed by TikTok. Tomorrow, a vote takes place on whether the Chinese-backed social media platform should be banned in the U.S. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The owners of Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire now plan to shut it down a week from Friday. That's a full month ahead of schedule. HSHS is closing Sacred Heart and St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls. The city manager in Eau Claire wants the state to investigate. More than 1,400 people will lose their jobs. A package of proposed new laws aims to protect the safety of judges and justices in Wisconsin. The state Senate votes on the bills today. Washera County Judge Guy Dutcher says it's a start.
I will applaud the legislature and the governor for taking a significant step in recognizing the vulnerability of the decision makers in the third branch of government, but much more still needs to be done.
Dutcher speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WMDX News, I'm Nate Wiggyhout. Representative Samba Balde has announced that he's running for state senate. He's running for a seat in the 16th Senate District, which is now vacant after redistricting. He'll be running as a Democrat. A native of the Gambia, Balde moved to Madison 30 years ago and has worked as a software engineer at American Family Insurance. Balde was first elected to the State Assembly in 2020 and had previously served on the Madison Common Council. Madison election clerks are beginning to send out absentee ballots for the April 2nd election. When filling out your absentee ballot, make sure you sign the envelope and have a witness sign and put their address on the envelope to make sure it gets counted. Wednesday is also the last day you can register online for this spring's local and presidential primary election. You can still register in person at your polling place on Election Day. And that's what you need to know. I'm Nate Wiggyhout, WMDX News.
Every business seeks an advantage, whether it's having the best location, hiring top talent, or spotting trends before they happen. And now, the United States Postal Service can give your business a new advantage. Introducing USPS Ground Advantage. Reliable and affordable 2 to 5 day package shipping. It's the advantage you need at the price you want. Get the Ground Advantage at USPS.com/advantage. The United States Postal Service, delivering for America.
It's the Brewers and the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Chicago Cubs face off again. This time it's Sloan Park in Mesa, Arizona. Brewers outfielder Garrett Mitchell back after sliding headfirst into third base last year, requiring shoulder surgery.
It was tough. I mean, obviously not being out there every day with the team is not always the easiest, but I was able to get through it. That's kind of what I use the injury as, so it's like just kind of treating each day as a new opportunity to get a little bit better and try to get back out there.
NBA, the Bucks wrap up their West Coast trip tonight in Sacramento against the Kings. NFL, the Packers making moves in free agency. They signed Raiders running back Josh Jacobs to a 4-year deal worth $48 million. On defense, they added Giants safety Xavier McKinney with a 4-year contract worth $68 million, an average of $17 million per year. The Packers saying goodbye to running back Aaron Jones and left tackle David Bakhtiari.
Today, Jones agreed to a 1-year deal with the Vikings worth $7 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The heat stays cranked up today as we spike into the 70s. Winds are feisty, though, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, creating a high fire danger risk again. Otherwise, we get to sit under mostly sunny skies today and enjoy this rare warmth. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 65.
Hi, I'm Mike Fruit, and I've signed my share of commercial real estate leases. In Madison, I highly recommend Jeff Jansen from Altus Commercial Real Estate. Jeff guided me to my first radio station location on the west side. He helped us move to University Ave, and eventually Jeff set up the lease at the Civic Media World headquarters. No one works harder to provide options in commercial leasing. Call Jeff Jansen and his team at Altus Commercial Real Estate at 608-338-1101.
Tomorrow on Busted Pencils, trending education news and civics 101.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got you right here beside me, my little buddy. I'm calling this one the Sun's Out, Puns Out Tuesday edition.
Hey, Crudy. Beautiful day in Madison. A pleasure to join you in studio here, WMDX. Aaron on the board the first hour here. Our fair audience, thank you for tuning in, man. It's going to be a great show, man. All 3 hours together again, man. We're getting the band back together.
We got the band back together. Limited engagement. I know you don't like to work this hard.
You know,
often.
I'm telling you, man.
Dom, you only have so many opportunities in life to be the greatest radio show ever.
Don't lose it. Don't blow it.
Don't blow it. Like the apparent recall efforts of Robin Voss.
Come on.
I now understand from the reporting I've seen, widely reported, they've come up short, Tom.
How is that even possible? They submitted like 10,000 signatures.
Not only that, but maybe they've created a constitutional crisis ? Well, in that.
Seems appropriate for Republicans these days.
There's the old Robin Voss district, the district he was elected in.
Ooh, the previous maps.
The previous maps. And the new Robin Voss districts.
The new maps.
Well, I guess the Wisconsin Elections Commission is going to try and determine how many of these signatures, you know, the petition to recall Robin Voss. Because if they've got 10,700 and they needed 6,850 to get 25% of the gubernatorial election most recent cycle, that's 22, in his district. Well, you know, did some of these people think they lived in Robin Voss's district, or do you have a lot of what would you describe them as?
Fraudulent out of district
fraudulent
signatures?
Petitioners?
At least one, perhaps.
At least one guy claims somebody signed his name, represented him fraudulently. Dom, he's a little bit up in arms. I am a little up in arms, though, because, you know, I love this effort.
Yeah.
Right up until now, when it crashes and burns, when it crashes on the rocks, Dom, this apparently will fall short And how many were they short by? Like 700 signatures? It wasn't an astronomically large number.
It was not.
It's still
945.
945 out of a prerequisite 6,850, my understanding. That's still more than 10%.
So what were the other 4,000? That's what I don't get.
Superfluous. they were bonus people that just didn't like Robin Voss, that were just willing to sign any piece of paper. And you know, did they not consider laying down a map and saying, do you live here? Sign here.
Well, when you sign, don't you sign your name and your address and your
You do
code?
If you want to be a valid petitioner.
Right.
And say, yes, I can legitimately sign because I am represented in the 63rd. The only question.
Which 63rd?
Which, the old 63rd? Or the new 63rd?
Or the new 63rd? The new and improved 63rd.
That I wonder if that is even meaningful. I think they've blown it, Dom. I think they've come up short and they tried to cloud it. You know, they're pointing at metrics that don't matter. We've got 10,700 crazy wackadoos that want Robin Voss out. Yeah, but do they live in this district?
Well, I mean,
some do.
Apparently,
many,
most, but not all.
But not enough to meet the actual standard of 6,850. I knew at some point, you know, they rounded up at the Washington Post, but I knew getting the accurate figure was going to be pertinent at some point, because as fate would have it, they've blown it. Mom's spaghetti all over their sweaters, Dom. So is the effort dead? Or do you think they now sue? Do we have litigation that stems out of this?
I think, you know,
and legitimately, because there is a real question here, if under the 63rd, the fight in 63rd, whether it's the old maps and the new maps, if cumulatively you had a significant number, if you could add more than 900 to the valid total, would that sway the Wisconsin Elections Commission to come to a different answer? Or are we running straight to litigation?
Well, I don't know. I mean, here's the question. So when they went out and collected these signatures, what maps were they referring to? You know, I mean, because obviously the lines
recall
changed.
Robin Voss.
Recall Robin Voss. New maps, old maps. So either way it works out, if they use the new maps, perhaps it would have been better if they use the old maps. Do they have to do? Are they going to do a redo when now? Recall the recall.
I would wonder.
Total recall.
Total Recall 2.0, because but I would wonder if they actually started this effort, because you get a run-up period, right?
Right.
If their expiration of time, if they just hit the clock, if they just ran out the clock, what was their run-up? Like 6 weeks? 2 months? I mean, they had some period of time.
Right.
60 days? I forget. I recall there was sufficient number of ballots in the Scott Walker recall effort. Theoretically, those that signed did so in good stead, thinking that Robin Voss was their rep, because they were aware there are new maps and he's in my district
I want him out. Or thinking Robin Voss was their guy because they're in the old maps and maybe they're not in the new district, but they were in the old district. Or, as you mentioned, they weren't in the old district, they're now in the new district. You know, perhaps when Governor Evers asked the Supreme Court to weigh in on this, they should have.
What are you blaming the courts?
Well, apparently, according to Molly Beck at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, when the Wisconsin Elections Commission met to talk about this, they have also requested Attorney General Josh Call to inquire to the Supreme Court which maps should be used. I mean, how many people are going to have to ask the same question to get an answer?
You know, I'll put the failure to indict fake electors on Josh's desk, but this one I'm going to put on the courts. You know, the courts decide. Here is the headline, Dom. Robin Voss recall organizers fail to submit enough valid signatures. Don't.
Wah, wah, wah.
Initial review finds organizers, Molly Beck reporting, organizers of a recall attempt against Wisconsin's longest serving assembly speaker failed to gather enough signatures in the district he was last elected in to trigger a recall election, according to an initial review by the State Elections Commission.
So they're going off the old 63rd.
The old 63rd, these signatures are now under scrutiny as the Elections Commission and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and his allies investigate each signature to determine how many are valid. At least Racine County resident, at least one Racine County resident said Tuesday his name was illegally forged on the recall petition and has contacted local law enforcement, right? Well, the district attorney, I guess. Supporters of former president and presumptive GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump are seeking to oust Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Red on red crime, as I would describe it, Dom. I was gleeful yesterday when I thought they had the sufficient number of signatures. They're trying to oust Voss over his criticism of Trump and his unwillingness to break the law. Oh, really? You know,
I mean, that's, I think that's fair
his
reporting.
Unwillingness to break the law and yes. undo the 2020 Wisconsin presidential election.
I think that's very accurate.
Do you think it was the law that kept him on the right side
no,
of this issue?
No, but I appreciate Molly Beck framing it as such. Recall organizer Matthew Snorak said Monday his group was submitting more than 10,000 signatures, nearly 4,000 more than required. But on Tuesday, the WEC staff determined the recall organizers did not obtain enough signatures from residents in the district Voss was elected in when the recall began, falling about 945 signatures short. But the state's legislative maps, of course, have changed since then, Crudy, and those new boundaries may complicate the final counting of signatures. The recall petition filing comes days after the state Supreme Court declined to weigh in on Democratic Governor Tony Evers' request to clarify, yes, please clarify whether the state's new legislative districts apply to elections held before November, leaving potential questions about how election officials will address the proposed recall.
I have many questions.
Just what we need, more questions in our elections. Don't tell the Republicans. Elections Commission staff plan to conduct a second review of signatures and will determine how many valid signatures are present under the old and new electoral maps. Commissioners on Tuesday during a special Elections Commission meeting also voted to ask Attorney General Josh Call to seek clarification from the state Supreme Court on which district boundaries to use when determining whether the recall organizers gathered enough signatures to trigger a recall election. Seems like something you'd want to know up front. You know what I mean? Just saying. If you're going to go through the effort, come up 945 short, maybe you should have known up front.
You know something about coming up short, don't you?
Story of my life, brother. But this, of course, that's the thing. And why? Why is it the old maps? Why wouldn't it be the new maps? What if they didn't get enough signatures using the old maps, but they got enough signatures under the new maps? What happens then? Do they have a claim? Do they have a point?
I think a better point than the one you're trying to make.
Sam Whalen, a Republican who lives in Yorkville, said Tuesday his name appears illegally on the recall petition. Today I called the DA and started the process of going after those who attempted to steal my identity. Shame on them. These Voss recall people are determined that 2020 was stolen, but now want to steal our election for us by forcing a recall of our successful candidate. Don't mess it up, man. You got one chance.
I'm a little sad they blew it, Dom. They blew it! You blew it! You had the opportunity. 945 signatures from his district short. So, collecting all these wasted signatures from outside the district, what good did that do? Did they not do door-to-door?
What district? Which one?
You think there's a valid point here?
There may be. If they have enough signatures in the new district, I think they got a fighting chance.
You think... What you're telling me is there's still a shot. Yeah. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We can find guests joining us this hour only. John Nichols from The Nation, from The Cap Time, our friend. He's got new stuff out there. Supreme Court favoring Trump. Shocker. Don't blow it. Stick around.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Darcy Haber, I hear you have solar panels on your office building. Since when are real estate brokers so concerned about the environment?
Drew, you should know that at Solidarity Realty, we provide outstanding real estate service while adhering to our core progressive values. Environmental sustainability is a big part of that.
So you really walk your talk, huh?
Yeah, I even walk to work.
Come on, always?
Well, sometimes I bike, and if I have an appointment across town, I use my solar panels to charge my plug-in.
Solidarity Realty. They're real, they're solid, and they're honest. Check them out at SolidarityRealty.com.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
But a special today only. Well, today and tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
We got Dominic here in Madison doing the early hour with us. WMDX 92.7. Better call your friends. Better tell them Dirty Dom's on.
Jeez.
Dom, the recall of Robin Voss, sadly, dead on arrival. That is my guesstimate. But you're right. There could be a legal claim. There might be a carve-out. There might be just a smidge of a chance, a Hail Mary of a chance, that somehow they find another 1,000 voters that thought they were in Robin Voss's district. They've apparently come about 945 signatures short before they go line by line and really dig in and start questioning. I bet you Robin Voss has got the staff for it.
We know he does.
So I think this effort, probably dead. Dead on arrival, Tom. Saddens me.
Okay, but let me throw something else at it, just as we're thinking about this issue.
What sure, about audible this in the middle of where I was transitioning to.
What
please.
About this circumstance would allow for, I don't know, someone like Will to come in and file a lawsuit?
I know.
I'm just
wouldn't
saying,
that be galling? You know, we didn't intend to yeah. file a lawsuit about the maps.
But now
there is a actual legitimate question of law. Is it possible that Robin Voss is behind the recall Robin Voss effort?
I mean, that's pretty conspiratorial, man.
That would be multi-level chess if that turned out to be true. I'm not saying it's not true, but that would be some dark and dirty stuff. That would be some black magic stuff. So here's my thought. No, right. I think it's probably MAGA wackadoos behind the recall effort. You know, they were out there before the maps were currently established. But legitimately, I think there is a question of law that has been opened, this Pandora's box, this can of worms. And if this has any effect on the greater usage of the maps this fall, I don't know where I got to burn it down, but I'm going to go burn it down, man. Rhetorically on the radio, but I'm burning something.
It's just something, you know, given the what we've lived through the last 10, 15 years in the state, I think it's something we should at least acknowledge a possibility of.
Well, who would be the plaintiff here? Who would have to go running off to the courts? I mean, Robin Voss is not going to sue to get this thing accepted. He's happy with this outcome, right? The Wisconsin Elections Commission has said this recall effort came up short. So he's not going to go sue. So it'll have to be the crazy MAGA wackadoos that say we, and I think the number, we'll have a better sense as they sort of parse out, are there other voters that fall in the new 63rd? Because there are new maps, old maps. Well, they didn't have sufficient signatures under the old maps, but are there another approximately 1,000 people that thought they should and therefore signed these petitions? Because they want to see Voss out and they're potentially in the new Voss district. Well, that might open up Pandora's box.
Well, yeah, whoever the plaintiff could be, whomever's recall vote is not counted because they're out of the district.
But let's think this through just a little bit further. Go down this rabbit hole with me. Because of the timing of this recall election, right? Now you got to give a primary, potentially. I mean, you could have a Democratic candidate. Let's not forget the Dems had multiple candidates when it was time to try and recall Scott Walker. So you had a primary, and then you had a general, like a February primary, if I recall, and like a June general for the recall of Scott Walker. And ultimately, Tom Barrett was the candidate that came through the primary. But that took months, the recall. I mean, it started in like November. And then.
And then you print yours out like immediately.
Immediately.
Like midnight.
1201. Print. Yeah, I wanted to see this SOB recalled. And this was the effort. And I was up for this jackassery. And I signed it. And I, you know, I've told the story. I'm not going to tell this story again, Dom. But the whole point is, it was like 6 months from the time the recall first ignited to the point where he was on the ballot and there was an actual election. Well, if this were a successful attempt, A, if he hasn't met the standard of the old map, they could just say, well, throw it out then. It's not gonna meet. But if it meets the standard of the new map,
yeah, if they don't meet the standard of either maps, obviously done deal.
Game over.
But either one of those leaves something up for question.
If cumulatively they would meet the standard of the necessary signatures. Now we got a quandary. And now, could they delay the incorporation of the fall maps because you've got a recall that's got to go through under the prior maps? You got to consolidate. You got to have a voting district for Robin Voss to go run for re-election in or recall in. He has the right to face his accusers. But who would be the litigant? I mean, theoretically, Adam Steen, Janelle Branchen, someone along those lines.
Any one of the petitioners whose recall signature was not allowed based on old map, new map. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a great observation.
Could have a lot.
I'm shocked you made it.
You're welcome. I'm done here, folks. Thank you. That's all
call
I got.
It a day.
That's it. Work is done.
You know, you can be a part. 844-967-2789. I think the effort is dead. You know who's not dead, though? Barry Alvarez.
You know? All right. Glad to hear. I heard there's some rumors going around.
Rumors
town.
On the interwebs.
Oh, the interwebs. Barry's, well, there you go.
Barry's dead. I was happy to hear, you know, what was the old Mark Twain line? And I believe Alvarez quoted Twain when he said, the reports of my death are greatly exaggerated.
<You're right. laughs>
They did a column at the Cap Times today. Apparently, Alvarez had to go out and declare,
he's alive.
I'm not dead yet.
I'm not dead yet. I'm getting better.
I find this very humorous. Barry Alvarez, 77, apparently living down in Florida. And the new athletic director, Chris McIntosh, called him. I got a call from Chris McIntosh as Alvarez tells the story to the Cap Times. He said, man, am I glad to hear your voice. There's something online that you'd passed away. You're dead. Alvarez assumed.
Assured.
Pardon me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd have gotten back there.
Yeah, I know.
Alvarez assured him that was not the case.
I swear to God, I'm not dead yet.
I'm not dead yet, just as Twain once did in the late 1800s after reading of his own obituary in the newspaper. I would love to read my obituary, Dom. They did ask us for biographies. I feel like I wrote my obituary today.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from, but someone put it out there on Twitter. Alvarez said, from his condo in Naples, Florida. Well, Florida is where people do go to die. Both of our phones were blown up. But luckily, Alvarez more alive than the recall efforts of Robin Voss. Because I think those are dead. Dom, great to see you. That always lifts my spirits.
Yeah, man.
I invited a friend. We got John Nichols joining us next, live from D.C. We'll have to ask him, why are you in D.C., John Nichols? And he'll give us some interesting story that may or may not be the real story. Because, you know, it's how you collect business expenses. So, travel, right?
You don't even know what a write-off is, Jerry.
Come back with us. The boys are back. Dom, joining me early today. Doing a little extra work. He'll be crabby later, I can tell. More of you on the phones, but not till after. John, 844-967-2789.
Ninepence.
I'm not dead.
What?
Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead. Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill. I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Oh, I can't take it.
Hey,
Brad from Zero Res Madison here. What's the best way to clean your carpet? Well, not surprisingly, it's the same way you clean your clothes. You wouldn't clean a dirty shirt by running a white cloth over the top of it, nor would you try to get it clean by sprinkling chemicals and rubbing it in. For a real clean, you need hot water, agitation, and a cleaning agent, just like your laundry. For a fresh, healthy clean with no residue, call Zero Res Madison or schedule online. Zero Res, spell it forward or backward, it's the right way to clean.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Wisconsin's Alice in Dairyland sharing a little March Madness. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. We'll find out what the March Madness campaign's all about next.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Ashley Hagenow is our current 76th Alice in Dairyland, and she's using the energy from March Madness to focus in on Wisconsin's more than 600 types of specialty cheese. She's creating her Wisconsin Artisan Brackets.
So this month, we have a unique spin on Wisconsin cheese, and that's tying in the joys of March Madness. So during the month of March, as under our Alice in Dairyland Wisconsin Cheese campaign, we have our Wisconsin Artisan Cheese Bracket. So just like you might have your favorite sports teams, now we can determine which cheeses are our favorite as part of this cheese bracket this month. So lots of special things when it comes to celebrating Wisconsin cheese, and there are so many varieties to choose from.
That's Ashley Hagenow. She's our current Alice in Dairyland, capitalizing on the March Madness with a little dairy focus. Now you can follow along with the activity and vote your favorite cheese by following Alice in Dairyland on Facebook. Ashley says that already the Colby Jack has bested cheese spreads in the very first week of voting. It's all online now. Alice in Dairyland on Facebook.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 62 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for March 26th through the 28th at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
And congratulations to Rachel Hartman from Algoma. She just graduated from the American Farm Bureau Federation's Partners in Advocacy Leadership Class 11. That means that she is focused in on how she can speak up for production agriculture. Rachel and her husband Eric raise beef cattle and their two sons at Lakeshore Land and Livestock in Algoma. She said that by graduating this program, she has become more confident and intends to pursue a career in public speaking. That's a quick update on what's happening in food news for a Tuesday. Don't forget, more available anytime you want it at MidwestFarmReport.com, Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. I'm PM Yonke.
The heat stays cranked up today as we spike into the 70s. Winds are feisty, though, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, creating a high fire danger risk again. Otherwise, we get to sit under mostly sunny skies today and enjoy this rare warmth. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
This is Chad Spade for Chad's Design Build. We're proud to employ some of the best carpenters and remodeling professionals in our industry. Are you honest and hardworking? Do you love to improve people's lives by improving their homes? Chad's Design Build offers excellent compensation and benefits focused on outstanding customer service, professional design, construction management, and craftsmanship, all in a nurturing, positive workplace. Whether you're thinking about remodeling your home or considering joining our team, go to chadsdesignbuild.com to learn more.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back, Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Tuesday?
It's only Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday. I got my little buddy Dominic here with me for hour number one. We're joined by a fine guest, live via phone, live from D.C. He is John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times. John, welcome back.
Hey, John.
Hey, it's good to be with you both. You got that sort of like folky downbeat Tuesday bumper music going.
Yeah, a little baby. Grateful Dead for you. Friend of the Devil, John Nichols. I just I just saw you at Kamala Harris not so long ago, John, here in Madison. And we got the president coming to Milwaukee tomorrow. But you're out in D.C. What's the occasion, John?
Well, you know, I don't want to be here for too long. I came out to actually do some stuff with Senator Sanders. We're, you know, because we had this book that came out and our paperback is out now. And so we're doing some podcasts and stuff like that and just... You know, what you do when you have a book out. You try and let people know it is available for their holiday gifting.
You know, I've never written a book, John, so I don't know what that's like, man. The book tours, is Bernie a fun guy to party with?
Bernie is cool. No, this is a very important thing to understand. He has a very fun sense of humor, and he is a very easy guy to work with. You know, I think a lot of media is not always as generous to him as they should be because he's very serious when he gets on the issues, right? If he's talking about Gaza, if he's talking about healthcare for all, you know, he goes to the heart of it. He doesn't joke around about it. And so people just assume, you know, he's always on and always serious. The reality is, he is kind of a fun guy to hang out with. We're both big walkers, and so when we're on book tour, we go for walks around the towns that we're in, which is kind of a trippy thing because sometimes we will show up in a neighborhood and people will be out doing lawn yard work or something like that, and they'll look up and go, oh, my gosh, it's Bernie Sanders.
Hey, John, so what's the name of the book and what's the subject of the book, and where can people get it if they want it? Let's get that out of the way right away.
Oh, well, I'm not. Yeah, the title is "It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism." Nice provocative title,
right.
And we thought that it would. You know, we thought maybe that was a little risky as a title, but it turned out we ended up as number two on the New York Times bestseller list,
nice.
Right after Prince Harry. So you know, our next book is going to be titled "It's Okay to Be Angry About the Royal Family,"
especially their pictures.
But at this point. You can get the book anywhere. It's pretty much bookstores and, you know, online and all that stuff. Encourage people to shop at their local bookstore in Madison, you know, Leopold's or Mystery to Me or wherever, you know, wherever people buy books from a human being. I like that the best.
John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times here in Madison. John, I don't know if you saw it, but Joe Biden put out new financial propositions, his budget.
Yep.
And I thought it was a big budget, but it had a lot of progressive proposals in there. John, has Bernie given you any opinion, and do you have any opinions on Joe Biden's quote-unquote progressive budget?
Well, I won't speak too much for Senator Sanders. He can speak for himself, but I will tell you that it is my opinion that somehow every once in a while, Joe Biden is channeling his inner Franklin Roosevelt. And that's what this looks like. This is a tax the rich and use the money to secure Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, education, health care. That's exactly what a budget ought to do, right? A budget ought to take money from those who've got a lot of it, right? And in a fair and equitable way, make sure that that money goes to pay for the things that as a society we need. And at this point, we do need, you know, a shoring up of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, because Donald Trump is running around saying, as he did Monday on CNBC, that, you know, he's open to, quote unquote, cutting entitlements. And so I think what's happening is that Biden is setting up his distinctions from Trump. You know, we're getting a feel for how Biden is going to be running a very distinct campaign from Trump, and it is going to be a more economic populist campaign. And why that's a big deal is because that's the kind of campaign that Democrats can Doesn't always mean that they will, but it's a kind of campaign that Democrats can win big. And I remind folks that the last time that a president introduced a big wealth tax, and that's what this is from Biden, it's a wealth tax. The last time that a president introduced a big wealth tax in anticipation of an election, it was FDR back in 1935, 1936. And he went on to win the biggest landslide in American political history and got a Congress where three quarters of the seats were held by Democrats. He was able to actually really implement the heart of the New Deal. And in fact, at that very time, create and begin to develop Social Security. So I'm not saying Biden's going to win that way. I think, you know, we're a more divided country. These are different times and different candidates. But what I will tell you is that this is the kind of budget that Biden should be running on. He shouldn't ought to be running on I'm a little bit better than the Republicans budget, right? That doesn't excite people very much. But I'm going to actually, you know, find some revenues, find some resources, and do a whole bunch of good things. Yeah, that's what politics is supposed to be about. You're supposed to tell people there's a reason to vote for you. And this budget, I think, is in the there's a reason to vote for you category.
Well, John, before we contrast with the prior administration, I have one question about the big price tag, the add it all up at the end, the $7.3 trillion. If we're expecting revenues closer to $5 trillion, and I'm all down for let's carve out some new revenues, let's tax the rich. I'm down for that, John Nichols. I hope to be amongst those taxed someday. But
yeah, you want to hit a big tax bill.
Yeah, exactly. we all do, right? I like the MAGAs and everybody else. I want to be rich and get a big tax bill someday.
Yeah.
But John, ultimately, is it good politics to roll out the big price tag?
No, people don't like the big price tag. They get scared by it. And that's appropriate, right? We don't want to run huge deficits. We don't want to run huge debts. That's not a smart move at the end of the day, because at some point, the economy might be less stable than it is right now, less robust than it is, and things could catch up with you. So you want to be, you know, somewhat fiscally responsible, somewhat prudent in doing that. But you don't want to be so cautious that you fall into that austerity trap where you're doing cuts even when you don't have to. And so what I would say about this budget is, yeah, I mean, you got to look at it for those spaces and places where you can find revenue, make sure that you don't, again, run up debt. But as Stephanie Kelton and other economists have taught us, and in fact, the current moment seems to suggest, when you invest, when you spend money at a reasonably robust level at the federal government level and also at the state level, it doesn't harm you. It actually grows the economy. And so this is what you're looking for. You're looking for that intersection, right? That perfect spot where government's spending a decent amount, but that's really priming the pump. It's making the economy stronger, more robust. And so then you get more revenues coming in and the whole thing works. One thing I can assure you, however, is that our Republican friends are not going to let Biden get everything he wants, right? I mean, that's a pretty good bet at this point. And so you get that sort of dialectic, if you will, of American politics. The Democrats propose big. The Republicans, you know, obviously try to cut that back. And, you know, the key in this is that for somebody like Biden, he needs to be proposing big. If he goes cautious, if the Democrats are all obsessed with not spending a lot of money and just being kinder, gentler Republicans, we never really move forward, right? We're always moving on the Republican agenda. And so it's good that Biden did what he did. We know he will not get all that he wants. I mean, Speaker Johnson has made that quite clear. But at least he's giving a perspective on what he would like to do. He would like Joe Biden, as president of the United States, to tax the very, very rich, the billionaires, and use that money to make sure that Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid are secure for the future. On balance, I'd rather be running on that than what appears is going to be Trump's motto, which is don't tax the rich and start to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's our friend John Nichols from the Cap Times and the Nation magazine. John, your piece in the Cap Times from earlier this month. Is there anything the Supreme Court won't do for Trump? And I got to tell you, John, I don't know if there is. What do you think?
There's no evidence that they have any filters on them, man. they're like, oh, you got a trial that might be problematic for you because you might go to jail before the election. We'll delay the trial, right? And apparently delay it for a very long time. Thus, justice denied. You got a violation of the Constitution. Article 14, Section 3 says you're not supposed to try and, you know, overthrow the results of an election and install yourself as an illegitimate president. Well, we don't accept that. You know, that's not a problem for us. And so we've seen quite a few rulings of late where the Supreme Court basically does Donald Trump's bidding. And that's the thing to understand. This is a partisan court. Wish I could say differently. I wish I could give you a different perspective, but that's what it is. This is a court where the majority is a partisan judicial activist cabal appointed by Donald Trump and by previous Republican presidents. They see it as their mission to protect and preserve Republican majorities. This is what they did in 2020 when they had Bush v. Gore. We had a perfectly legitimate, perfectly healthy recount going on in Florida, if you'll recall, in 2000, and they halted it. They said, oh, we don't want to know the actual results of the election. We're just going to declare it done right now when George W. Bush is a little bit ahead, with 537 votes, and we're going to make him president of the United States, and that's that. And if we look back on it, I'm not sure that their intervention in 2000 worked out all that well. And frankly, I'm not sure their interventions right now are working out all that well.
John, I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree. But then I also wonder, you know, given the gravity of the situation, given the fact that we've never had a former president, you know, indicted and convicted and perhaps could potentially go to jail. And as history looks back on it, giving the former president every opportunity, every chance that they can, because I can't imagine that this Supreme Court is going to acknowledge and accept the fact that a president has unlimited immunity to do anything they want. Because if that's the case, I think Biden's going to be the one calling SEAL Team 6. So do you think the gravity and the history is impacting this, or is it just pure partisanship?
There's a little bit of both. And the justices are different, right? Clarence Thomas has shown a lot of evidence of pure partisanship on a regular basis. You look at the record, you know, this guy ought to be recusing himself from all sorts of cases for a whole bunch of reasons. But then you've got people like, and this may be the only time I say this, Amy Coney Barrett, who on the on a couple of these recent rulings and a couple of these recent issues, she has distinguished herself, especially on the 14.3 insurrection clause issue. She did seem to suggest, and had a concurrence, which seemed to suggest she thought the court was going too far, right? That it was kind of tearing up parts of the Constitution. And so I've covered the court for a very, very long time. I can tell you that there are internal dynamics which keep developing and redeveloping. My sense is that John Roberts would like this court to have legitimacy. And he's looking for an ally on the conservative side. There's only three liberals. And so you got to get two conservatives to make anything happen. And I think it may well turn up to be on that immunity issue, right? That blanket immunity issue. And that's a good thing. I mean, we should celebrate that. But don't celebrate too much. I mean, don't go partying all night, because the fact of the matter is that that's just one little issue. I mean, it's a big issue. It matters. But it's only one of the many issues that are coming before the court. And most of them, they're wrong.
John, I've got a confession to make on behalf of the panel. We do intend to party all night, sir.
I anticipated no less, knowing you pretty well and having watched you at the Kamala Harris event where you were, you know, like asking where the free bar was.
I was discouraged by the cash bar nature. No, John Nichols, our friend. Thanks for coming around, John. We'll catch up. Safe travels back from D.C., sir.
Thanks, John.
All right. I appreciate being with you.
Thanks. More Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. 844-967-2789. First one say she got my child, but it don't look like it. I said I'm running, but I took my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Hey folks, Stephanie Miller here. As an enlightened progressive, you know how important it is to do business in accordance with your politics. That's why Solidarity Realty is my favorite real estate firm in Madison. Solidarity Realty is a local independent realty company that lives their values. They provide outstanding expertise and protect your best interests while building community and promoting sustainability and diversity. Viva la resistance! Find them today at SolidarityRealty.com. And don't forget, tell them Stephanie Miller sent you.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matinair on Air.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us anytime on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Did you call for this, or was this just serendipity? The official road trip band of Across Wisconsin, Van Halen playing.
Is that OU 812 or 5150?
You know, we have these deep thoughts when we're out on the road.
With the Devil's Advocates.
We do it for you people. Yeah. Now, I've been seeing lots of Joe Biden ads.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, lots of Joe Biden ads. Mm. I watch the news then.
Yeah. Is that where you're seeing
it? It is. When you watch the local news, you're targeted with the political ads. And Joe Biden's up in a big way, and I like to see it.
He spent a lot of money, man. Like $30 million or something,
right? He's got some
money
to spend, yeah, apparently.
He made a lot after that State of the Union.
The campaign doing okay for right
yeah,
now.
All right. No, no civil lawsuits he's got to pay up. No attorney's fees.
Yeah, it's amazing how much you can spend on campaign ads when you're not defending yourself in court constantly. But here's my point.
Yes.
I'm not sure if this is just a blip on the radar, because kind of, sort of, Wisconsin's soon to be up on the primary clock. April 2nd, right?
Oh, hell, I got to register.
Yeah, no, you don't. Yeah. Register on game day.
Oh, man, I don't want to mess around.
It's like showing up at the parking lots and scalping some tickets. It's easier than that, Tom. It will not be a problem for you.
Okay. Thank you.
I assure you.
Okay. I got to get a new license, too.
You got a utility bill?
Yeah. It's in my wife's name. I got a mortgage statement, though, so I can use that.
Well, can you?
I don't know. So I'm saying, I don't be waiting until the last minute, you know, given the circumstances.
Yes.
And everyone then yelling at me, Dom didn't go vote again. So I got to.
Again? When didn't you go vote last time?
Oh.
Whatever the last election.
The last time, right. Yes. The last time. But yes, your point.
The primary election.
Yes.
You did not vote in the spring primary.
Correct.
And if you don't go re-register, you will not be voting in the spring partisan primary, presidential partisan primary / general election. You know, it's funny. Vicky McKenna, righty, whitey talk radio host, your girl.
Your girl, yeah, yeah.
Your girl.
Yes, she loves me.
She does. I heard her bemoaning the fact the MPS referendum that will be on the ballot in Milwaukee this spring.
I will be voting on that.
Well, too important for a spring ballot, in her opinion. And, you know, she had an expert. She had Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. riding shotgun.
Yeah, well, all right, man.
So they're pontificating about the fact
it's pitchforks and torches time in America.
But spring elections, that's not when you make these important school referendum decisions. But, of course, it typically is. That is when the very, very civically minded come out and decide whether or not the schools are funded. Spring elections. Well, that comes up April 2nd. My question is that why Joe Biden's starting to blanket the airwaves, or can we expect this all the way to November?
I think it's all the way, man.
You don't think there's going to be a drop off?
No, not a swing state like Wisconsin when the money's flowing and this is where we're at. No, I highly doubt it.
Do you see the special prosecutor, and I want to go here in hour number two. We don't tell the others, so if they didn't join, we don't tell them. We'll just We'll pretend like it's hour one again.
All right, all right.
But the Robert Herr, the special prosecutor that called Joe Biden old.
The guy that resigned before he gave testimony.
Well, it's a little safer that way, isn't it?
Isn't it, though?
That's very convenient. My understanding is he was aided by MAGA World in resigning at the proper time before he had to go give testimony.
Really? He needed MAGA advice to decide when to resign before giving testimony versus just resigning yourself before you give testimony?
The company you keep, I've often been accused of making bad associations, mostly on the radio.
You tell me about it, man.
So we've got lots of sound of that. And, of course, the failed recall effort, I don't know if we'll have many more opportunities to talk about the failed recall effort of Robin Voss. I'm very disappointed about
Wisconsin's Assembly Leader.
Early grievance. This one's gotten under my skin.
You were so very happy about it yesterday. And now you're just like so bummed out.
The highs are so high, but the lows are so low.
Is it wrong that I find that amusing?
That you take glee at
in your emotional roller coaster. I mean, I'd like to be a part of it, man. I mean,
well, fortunately, I call you often and drag you into it every day on the radio. You know how I am. You don't want it for the uninitiated. Yes. You want no part of this roller coaster ride that is my life. The ups, the downs, the laughing, the crying.
Right.
But mostly, Dom, let's be honest.
The whimpering. What? The crying yourself to sleep at night thing?
Well, I was going to say the angry outburst. Yeah. You know, there's a fair number of those mixed in for good measure.
Well, I mean, you gotta
vent. You people make me angry sometimes.
You can't keep it in, man. You gotta let it out once in a while.
Bob, we weren't going there yet, but Bob from Madison's been patient. Welcome, Bob. You're the first one today. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, Bob.
Oh, okay. I want to talk about the hearing this morning. Sure. The testimony. He came across pretty clean and relatively impartial through most of the stuff. But
nobody goes out and says, I'm a hack. Believe me, I'm a hack. No one ever. It's like going on a first date, man. You don't show her your real side or she'd never date you again, Bob.
Says Grudy.
Well, yeah. But here's the thing. Somebody read the transcript that just came out this morning, and a Democratic woman hit the one out of the park. He claims that his Biden's faulty memory, is largely based on the fact that he doesn't remember the year that his son died. And it turns out in the transcript that he doesn't remember the year, but he says May 30th. So how does that show a bad memory? It shows bad faith reporting of the situation, to me, is what it shows.
Bob, that's an excellent point. I don't recall what year our friend Bob died, but I know it was April 20th, right? Yeah. April 21st, technically.
19th or 20th, yeah.
Yeah. That rings true to me for that reason.
Well, it's also pretty emotional, man. You know, I mean, some people will be burned in their mind forever. You know, my dad passed away 3-4 years ago. I mean, remember it was in March. What was the year was it? 1920? You know, what a waste of time today. This whole hearing, these Republican, the MAGAs trying to what? The guy, Joe Biden, not charged. Apparently not exonerated either. I mean, what's that all about? But what a waste of time. Hey, there's no getting around it. Everyone knows I'm old. I mean, Joe's got a campaign out ad right now acknowledging that fact. Would you rather be old or be a fascist?
Let me ask you. Would you rather outlive Crudy, knowing all these gaps in your memory you'll never have them filled without me? Or would you rather I outlived you, because at least I would remember you existed?
I'm going to live forever, Crudy.
I would tell the stories over and over, the glory days. Come back, the glory days are today.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
The Devil's Advocates are hiring. We need a part-time executive producer to direct the greatest radio show ever. Tasks include editing sound for broadcasts, screening callers, especially CJ, booking guests, and contributing daily. Candidates must be available to work weekdays 2 to 6:15 at 202 State Street, Madison. Funny, fast-thinking, tech-comfortable applicants, inquire now via text 844-967-2789.
You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. U.S. troops have deployed to the Middle East for the humanitarian mission to build a floating pier off Gaza's coast.